We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So realistic, and the storylines have become so realistic in video games now that it's more of like an experience than me and you were maybe used to when we played video games.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I think it's just a more immersive kind of thing these days.
Yeah, I mean, this happens with every generation. You get older and you don't understand what young people are doing. Like, why are they listening to that? Or why are they watching that? Or why are they dressed like that? So I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm just saying it wasn't something that was I couldn't stand watching other people play video games when I was a kid.
Well, and I'll see gamers make the argument like, well, you like watching other people play sports. Why don't you want to go play in that game?
Oh, that's the argument.
And I'm like, well, I mean, you got me there. Like, I guess I understand that.
Well, like, how about, and I'll tell you, you can put some of these, and I don't even know what the most popular e-games are, e-sports are, but whatever they are, like, if you put them on CBS and put a baseball game on ABC, the esports would get more viewers on CBS.
That's crazy.
I mean, they're like, you know, I mean, like, young people.
Yeah.
Are more interested in esports than they are some professional sports.
No, I don't deny that it's massive.
Yeah, so it's a massive thing that's a little off the radar for, I think, people my age and up. But for people my oldest son's age and down, it is a massive, massive thing. And it looks like the NBA is trying to tap into that to whatever degree, taking NBA players and putting them in a 2K tournament that's going to be broadcast on a major television network. So we'll see if it works.
Story number four.
Got a Carole Baskin update.
Okay.
So she obviously is the crazy woman in Tiger King. And one of the – and this really is the lasting thing that – I think there's two things people are talking about now. Like after everybody's seen it a week ago, now what are you talking about? It's like, yo, did Joe Exotic really do what he was convicted of doing? Should he really be in jail? Like, for the next 22 years? Like, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, like, yo, did Carole Baskin kill her first husband, Don Lewis? Because it looks like she might have had something to do with the disappearance of her first husband, Don Lewis. Now, so I told you yesterday, the sheriff of her county in Florida said that they were not reopening the case because it was never technically closed, but he has assigned somebody in his department to take leads, chase them down, see if we get anywhere with this thing. Well, earlier today, he held a press conference, a teleconference, and he was taking questions from the media. And he said that they have asked Carole Baskin to take a lie detector test. She will not do it. He said everybody else that they've asked is willing to do it. She's not. She's unwilling. Which may or may not mean anything, right? But like,
sure.
But it's something.
If you don't have to, why would you? I guess.
Right. Well,
you
know, like,
would be the argument.
Her argument would be, it won't. If I fail it, it makes me look guilty. If I pass it, it doesn't prove that I'm not guilty, so what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I get it. She's probably following the advice of lawyers, but whatever. It's something that he said. The interesting thing he said this morning is that they've talked to two security guards who worked at Don Lewis's estate because they were wealthy, multimillionaires. I mean, he had a private plane. Like, they were wealthy people. And they've talked to two security guards there, and the sheriff said those conversations have been weird. Because one security guard is on the record saying, I didn't see Don for 6 months before he disappeared. And the other security guard is on record saying, I saw him the week before he disappeared. And they're like, these are two people who worked together all the time. How could their stories be that drastically different from each other? Like, that doesn't make sense. It'd be one thing if one guard was saying, I don't think I saw him for like 2 weeks before we realized he was, you know, not here. And the other one was saying, I think it was more of a week. Well, then you could, but one guy saying, I hadn't seen him for several months. And the other guy saying 1 week. Like, that doesn't really.
Nope.
It's just when you combine it with all the other really questionable things surrounding that, it's just another thing that makes you ask more questions. Will they ever get answers to it? I don't know. Cold cases aren't often solved, decades later. But sometimes they are, and it would be something, like we talked about yesterday, if her agreeing to be in this documentary is what ultimately leads to a relaunch of that investigation that leads to her being arrested, charged, and convicted of a crime that sends her right to the same place Joe Exotic is, prison, prison, prison. Jeff Calkins is up next.
This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis and the Mid-South station you can count on. Live on the radio.com free app.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Want to sell your home stress-free? Email your home address to investor@livelovememphis.com for a free analysis. No obligation, no hassle, just an offer. investor@livelovememphis.com. The Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts, 901-685-6000.
It's time for the 2020 census, but what is the census? For my grandfather, the census meant new possibilities. He came here 50 years ago for a better life. And he learned the census counted everyone to inform billions of dollars in funding each year for things that mattered to him and his community. Thanks to him, we all got counted, which gave us all the possibilities we have today.
Shape your future. Start here. Complete the census at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
If one of your kids had a toothache, who would you call? A plumber?
Oh, yeah. I see the problem. It's a molar way back there. I think I can get it with this plunger.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian. He's the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11, right here, 92.9 FM ESPN. Joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how's social distancing going today?
I don't think I've come within, in my house I've come within 6 feet of people, but beyond that, no. Yeah, I've been keeping my distance. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to get my oldest son to social distance from the mailbox, because he ran right over that today.
You ran over the mailbox?
Ran over the mailbox. I mean, not the entire mailbox, but he clipped the... My mailbox is on the ground. It's broken.
The mailbox is on the ground.
Yeah, I've got to call a welder or whoever fixes those types of things.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, like, I was furious, and then
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I was furious, and I yelled. It was ridiculous, because I was upstairs doing a Facebook watch video for CBS Sports, and I walked outside, and I saw everybody gathered around the mailbox. I was like, well, this ain't good. And I walked outside, and Louie, the three-year-old, could not wait to tell me, Dad, Aiden broke the mailbox. Are you? And then the next words out of his mouth, are you going to spank him? Are you going to kill him? I said, what happened? What happened? And he hit the mailbox, and I said, I was mad, because, like, we got, like life is crazy right now for everybody. Mm-hmm. And now I got my and I got to call somebody to come out to my house and deal with a mailbox thing. Just it's just another thing that we have to deal with. Again, not the biggest deal in the world, but it's a thing. And I was like, I was mad. I even left the house mad. But on the drive here, like, how many times did I do stupid stuff like that when I was his age? Like, I ran my car trying to park it in our garage. I just ran it right through the wall. I just ran through, like, ran through, the, like, literally through the wall. Like, so, he hadn't done that yet. So I guess you can be frustrated by it, but also recognize that's going to happen. When you put a teenager in a car, like, the mailbox is going
to
get hit.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that he obviously, it's the old, he didn't mean to do it, very clearly. He didn't mean to hit the mailbox, right? And let's see, what did I do? I was backing out in the church parking lot when I was just learning to drive. I backed out, and I was so, you back up, and you turn, and you're so worried about hitting what's behind you that the front corner that was turning ran into a car, and I scraped the hell out of that car, and that was awful. And then another time at a stop sign, I ran into someone because it was icy, and I just slammed right in. When you're 16, you're going to run into stuff. You're just a star. You're going to run into stuff when you just got your license. So I think you were right to catch yourself there.
Well, I didn't really catch myself until after I left the house, if I'm being honest. I didn't really catch myself until after I got alone in my car, and I was like, how many stupid – like, how about this? So when I was a teenager – my mom got a brand new car, and she let me use it, like, one night to go to my girlfriend's house. And it was Christmas night. That's why I was going to my girlfriend's house. And I was trying. So Penny Hardaway was playing for the Magic, and they were playing a Christmas day game or night game is the way I remember it. I just remember speeding because I was trying to get there in time for tip-off, which is the dumbest thing.
Oh, that's great.
And so I come over a hill. I can remember this vividly. I'm going over a hill, and for whatever reason, it popped in my head, like, man, if there's somebody on the other side of this hill, I'm going too fast. And then I see the brake lights. Like, there's somebody sitting on the other side of the hill. I slam on the brakes, but I went right into them. I was lucky I wasn't seriously hurt in it. It was a family from out of town. They were in town for Christmas, and they were on their way to the casinos and had missed their turn, so they stopped because they realized they had just missed their turn, and I hit them right in the back. Boom. So that's, just destroyed my mom's car. Another time, it was icy. It was one of those early mornings you get up to go to school, and there's ice on your windshield. And you just got to take the scraper and scrape the stupid ice off. But, me, I'm like, I can kind of see, so I'll be fine. Drove right into the back of a parked car on the side of the street, just right into the back of it. Ran into my garage one time and then hit a pedestrian. Don't ever forget, I ran over a pedestrian.
Damn.
On Elvis Presley Boulevard.
I remember that one.
What happened again? Dude, okay, same girlfriend. I had a million wrecks trying to do things with this girl. So, it was her younger brother's birthday, and I was going to get a birthday present, whatever you get. And this was a time when, like, we just didn't have Walmart in Horn Lake or South Haven. About the closest place you could reasonably go to get a birthday present for somebody would be Target in Whitehaven. So I was driving down Elvis Presley Boulevard, and, if it's like four lanes with a turning lane, whatever it is, and I'm going north on Elvis Presley Boulevard, and there's a man standing in the turning lane. And I see him because he's just standing in the turning lane, and he's holding a bottle, like a bag, a paper bag. Clearly, he just walked across the street, got a bottle of beer, and was a quart of beer, and was coming back across the street to wherever he was going. And it was raining outside, so the roads were a little slick. And I genuinely wasn't speeding or doing anything wrong, like for once in my life. And he walked right out in front of me, and I slammed on my brakes. And it was just like the movies; like his instincts were to jump. And I hit the bottom of his legs. He flipped over, crashed my windshield, flew over my car, and landed behind me. All right? Okay, so I'm
fantastic.
Okay, keep in mind, I'm like 16, 17 years old. Both my parents are out of town. This is not a time when you have a cell phone. I'm alone. I mean, I'm in this by myself. So I get out of the car. And you would think people would rush to try to help this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess somebody did. But more than that, people just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Oh, that dude got oh, look at this. Yeah, like that's what, and I'm like, jeez. I don't know what's going on. So coincidentally, an ambulance was just driving by. It wasn't like somebody called 911 and the ambulance got there. It just happened to be driving by. So they stopped because there's a guy lying in the middle of Elvis Presley Boulevard. So I'm terrified. I knew I didn't do anything wrong, but like still, you might have just taken a man's life. So they come and get the man and they take him off to the hospital, right? And they leave. I have to stay there. And I'm not under arrest or anything like that, but they ask me to stay there, until they figure out whether he's dead or not, really. And so I'm sitting in the back of a cop car. Again, not under arrest, but just like I'm just sitting there because it was raining and we weren't just going to stand outside. And I remember the police officer calls the hospital on like his, whatever you call the hospital on. And he's like, yeah, I'm calling about a pedestrian hit Elvis Presley Boulevard, corner of this and that. I'm just trying to get the status. And this is what I hear come back through. Is it a walkie-talkie? Is that what they call it? This is what I hear come back through it. It goes, patient has arrived and is in critical condition. And I'm like, I asked the officer. I'm like, what does critical condition mean? And he said, well, it means he could live or he could die. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
There's got to be a better way to tell a 16-year-old that, right? And so we get to a point where they stabilize it. What I later found out is pedestrian hit by a vehicle, they always start critical condition, then they'll figure it out after that. And he was stabilized pretty quickly. So they let me go. But we got sued. My father got sued over it, like by the guy, because they, first off, said he was permanently disabled, was never going to be able to work again. And if I remember correctly, like somebody hired somebody that had video of him, like, a year later, 2 years later, he's playing basketball. He's working on a roof. He wasn't permanently disabled, but he might have had a limp. He might have had a limp, but he was drunk. He was drunk walking across the street. He walked right out in front of me.
Did you all pay a settlement,
I don't think. I think insurance handled whatever it needed to handle, but it never went further than that. At least that was my understanding of it. That's my memory of it. But, like, I did hit a pedestrian, So. So the mailbox is not the worst thing. Like at least my son didn't run over a human.
Right, right, exactly. Good point.
Yeah,
right.
So.
I do love the fact that everybody loves to tell. Like Oliver couldn't wait to tell that Louis peed on your chair. Louis can't wait to tell that. There's nothing that a sibling likes better than another sibling getting in trouble.
Like
it's just the best.
Like Lou kept saying, "Dad, Aiden hit the mailbox. He hit the mailbox. Dad, Aiden hit the mailbox." I was like, Lou, I got it. I understand. I know. Are you going to kill him? No, I'm not going to kill your brother. I'm thinking about it, but I'm not actually going to do it. It's just, it's just one thing after another. It's just one thing after another. Every family could be a reality show right now if you have both teenage children and young people and you're all... Like, we always wonder, why does that show make for a good reality show? Because you just put people all in the same place who are related to each other and tell them they have to deal with each other all day, every day. That's a reality show. It could be anybody. Like, you could turn my house into a reality show right now, and it would get ratings because it's just one wacky thing after another, after another, after another. Like, earlier today, I can't even, Kelly got home at some point, so I'm like, free to focus on work. So I go upstairs. I don't even know what led to it. But it was all I heard for like 5 straight minutes was, stop hitting him. You can't hit him like that. And then I walk downstairs and Louie has picked up a red stool that he uses to go to the bathroom to get up on, he's a short little guy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He has picked it up. He is carrying it above his head. And he's telling Aiden, I'm going to hit Oliver with this. And you would think Aiden... You would think Aiden would say no, but Aiden was like,
bad idea.
Yeah, right. Aiden was actually encouraging him. So now Louis got his big brother encouraging him to do anything. He's gonna do it. So now I'm like having to take a stool from a 3. It's just one wild thing after another. I'm about ready to give up.
Well, here's the thing about that. I heard you say earlier that Toronto shut down through June 30th. You do realize that they're in a lot better shape in Canada than we are.
Right.
That's the thing. It's not just that they're shut down through June 30th. They're shut down through June 30th, and they're in a lot better shape than we are. You know, they're not turning the Billie Jean tennis center into a mass unit, which is what they're doing in New York right now.
Dude, they put a hospital in Central Park. There's a hospital in Central Park. Like, what? Like, it's wild. And I don't know if you saw, but Dr. Birx's at the White House today, and she said that they have a model for potential number of dead in the United States. No intervention shows 1.5 to 2 million deaths. With intervention, which is what we're doing now, still shows between 100,000 and 240,000 deaths, which is just, again, and, you know, like, we've been hearing numbers like this for a few days now, but it's still, like, right now we are at a little less than 4,000 deaths. But, you know, now think about that. Now we're going to get above 100,000, barring a miracle at this point. It's just... Ugh.
That means we got 96,000 to go.
It means we got 96,000 to go. Like 90, we got, and I don't know if you heard earlier, there's an agent, a sports agent named Buddy Baker.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
What in the world? I mean, to me, like, we know that's happening, but when you watch somebody you know, like somebody you text message every once in a while just to ask what's up, when you're getting ready to go to work and you're like, oh, here's a tweet from Buddy, wonder what this is. It's like, oh, hey, my mom and dad both died of coronavirus this weekend within 6 minutes of each other. It's like, what?
This is a lot better, GP, when we thought, when everyone was saying that it was just old people who have been, not just old people with underlying health issues, right? And it's, it's not us, right? That's not us. I honestly don't know how. If you were one of the deniers, I don't know how. I feel like you got blood on your hands. I mean, I do mean it. Like, I don't know how you can say that. I heard you talking about the kids who are dying now. This is very clearly not just old people. I, you know, the I don't know. Like, it's appalling. And the way we treated it so casually for so long. And but now it's hitting home. Like, for example, the minister at Second Pres dies.
Right.
And that will take people at Second. Now, if anyone at Second Pres wasn't taking it seriously, now they're going to take it seriously. But it shouldn't take your minister at Second Pres to die. Not that I'm not picking on them at all, because I'm not saying they weren't. But whatever. Like, we as a society, I heard Anna calling in, your friend who's the nurse, calling in earlier, and they're bracing for the wave that they know will come. No, we're not New York now, and we may never be New York, but they know the wave is going to come. And it didn't have to. It didn't have to. If a month ago we'd been taking this seriously, it didn't have to. But we don't. So here we are.
So here we are, waiting on, you know, roughly 96,000 more Americans to die. And if we get anything lower than that, that's considered a, quote, good job, according to the president of the United States. I got a tweet from a guy named Chris, and he said that, it, you know, because I asked Anna, you know, she lives downtown. And so she goes to this hospital, and she's watching people be sick. She said of all ages, people are sick, and they're getting sicker, and they're on ventilators. And she's seeing this up close, and she's at risk. And then she goes home, and she, you know, peeks out her window, and there's Tom Lee Park, and it's just overrun with people. And she said it's just infuriating because, like, you're seeing this up close. You're going to work every day, put yourself at risk, and people are making it worse when they could – do the opposite. And so I got a tweet from a guy named Chris, and he said he works at Walmart, and it is absurd. These are his words. It is absurd the amount of people that are coming in. Whole families, teenagers hanging out, people walking around and talking, chit-chatting like nothing's going on. Like, that's what he's seeing every day. And I don't know what else you have to hear or see to understand that you can't do that. Like, I get why maybe you would have been a dummy about this 3 weeks ago, because a lot of the most prominent people in this country were being dummies about this 3 weeks ago. I don't know what else. I don't know how you could roll your eyes at the idea that going to Walmart and chit-chatting with strangers is a dumb thing to do right now. And yet, according to Chris, who works there, he's seeing it every single day. It's just wild to me. Like, I guess it's got to be your mom that dies. I mean, it's just not enough that it's a sports agent's mom and dad who died, or a 13-year-old person in London who you don't know his name, or a 12-year-old girl in Belgium you don't know her name, I guess, it, you know, the numbers just going from almost nothing to 4,000 in a matter of weeks. I guess that doesn't do it for you. I guess it's got to be your mom. But here's the wild news. Keep walking around like nothing's going on. It really might be your mom.
Right. Yeah. No, I will say that I don't see in my life when I walk around, I don't see a lot. Like when I go to the grocery store, which I have to do from time to time, people are clearly keeping their distance. When I go running, now I just went for a run just a little bit ago, and you veer around people. Like I see it on TV, right, on the news. I don't actually see it much, the sort of misbehavior that we're talking about. Now, there's a whole separate discussion going on, and, you know, you hear from everywhere now as to whether we should all, as Americans, be wearing masks.
Right.
And for a longest time, they said, you don't have to wear masks. But you got the sense that half the reason they were saying that was because we didn't have enough masks anyway.
Right.
So, you don't really have to wear masks, but mostly because we want to save masks for healthcare workers. But it turns out that it might actually be a good idea for all of us to be wearing masks. And you know, that's one of the things that may emerge from this. So the society that comes, that emerges subsequently, is a society where a lot of us are wearing masks.
The New York Times is reporting that the CDC, this is a report from this afternoon, is reviewing its guidance on wearing masks as new data suggests many people with no symptoms are infecting others. And so that really might be a thing. I can tell you when I was at Kroger Saturday night or Sunday morning, whenever I went, this was Sunday, I don't know, this weekend, there were people walking around shopping with masks on, lots of people walking around with gloves on. So you already see it, but it could be a thing where you see it more often than you don't see it. And the other thing, while I was at the grocery store, I just like you, people were, you know, veering out of each other's way and being patient with each other, but still, like, you got to check out eventually. You're not 6 feet away from the little girl, you know, scanning your groceries, you know, like,
no.
Yeah, you're not. And that, so everybody in that store is coming by that girl, and then you're standing right next to that girl too.
Well, and everybody's touching the pad, the keypad, right? Even if it's just to, you're not doing debit, you're doing credit. Well, I guess you can do cash, but then you're handing the cash over, whatever. But yeah, a lot of people are touching that keypad. I went to Walgreens. I had a newspaper baggie that I wore over my hand to touch the keypad. Like I'm becoming more vigilant every day. Like I've been pretty vigilant, but I'm becoming more vigilant every day. You know, I did this. It's interesting that this column that I did that's up now at the Daily Memphian about this woman that I know who had the tested positive and sort of did all kinds of things, walked all over Memphis before she tested positive. A lot of people are just crushing her. And whatever, I mean, that's fine. I mean,
let me stop you. Crushing her, why?
Because she was irresponsible. That's what they view. They're lashing out at her because. And if you read it, she's a nurse. Okay, she's a nurse who got the virus when she went to, she believes, visit her brother. Her brother woke up with a fever. Sunday morning. Now, this was the Sunday before the NCAA tournament was canceled,
right?
I think that's right. So, anyway, her brother had a fever, but her brother never had anything more than that, and they just kind of dismissed it. She comes back, and she lives her life for a couple days, and that's where she mostly was, like, doing stuff. She was going to the grocery. She went to a restaurant. She did lots of stuff. She volunteered at her church. She did lots and lots of stuff, like lots of stuff. She got her car fixed. Like I heard from, she got her windshield replaced. I heard from a windshield person today who's saying, listen, was it at our place? You know? And I said two things. I said, one is, it's been 2 weeks now since this has happened, right? So you're probably in the clear. And secondly, the health department already interviewed her and followed up with everyone who they deemed to be in danger of being exposed by her. So whatever. So if you haven't, she went to work. She works at a medical office. As I said, she's a nurse, et cetera. Anyway, then she gets sick and she has fever and aches and whatever. She's flat on her back. but she has no cough, no respiratory issues. And the only reason she was actually able to get a test at that point was because she works for a medical office and they scheduled a test for her. And so she was able to get, instead of a test, remember, you didn't used to be able to get a test unless you said that you'd come in contact with someone who you knew had had it, or you traveled to a hot spot, and this was before New Orleans was a hot spot, and you had a cough, and she never had a cough. So now, should she as a nurse have been, I don't know, I guess. Like, I can say that. If you want to be mad at her, you can be mad at her. Like, I get that. To me, it's less about, the story was less about pointing fingers at her than it was at saying, and this is why I told the story, there's 1,000 people like her. It doesn't mean, like, you can be mad at her if you want, because now I wrote about this one woman who walked all over Memphis before she tested positive. But the person next to you at Kroger could be her, it could be the equivalent of this woman. That's why, and the fact that she was willing to tell this story to me, she probably saved, honestly, it's far and away the most read thing I've ever written at the Daily Memphian by a vast margin. It's gone crazy. And if it stops, if 100 people say, ooh, that makes me reevaluate, she's, to me, done more harm than she's done more good than whatever. She told her story, which she didn't have to. She actually was willing to use her name. I said, there's no need for you to, I actually knew she'd get crushed. So I said, let's not use your name. And I didn't put in the restaurant that she went to. Again, there's no, because every restaurant has had people walk into them. That's what people don't realize. There's people out there walking around with this, and it could be this person, but it could be another person. And that's why we are all really, you should act like you have it, and not just like you might get it from someone else. Act like you have it, and then we'll all be safer.
Well, I think that, in her defense, as a country, we weren't as educated on this 3 weeks ago as we are right now. We just weren't. I mean, we can lie to ourselves and say that we were. I think some medical officials knew what we were dealing with, but you got to remember the messaging from the top was downplaying this significantly. Our president was downplaying this consistently. And I will say, even, I had a Kaylee Hartung on last week, my friend who works for ABC News, and like she covered this story up close, the first breakout in Washington State, and she got back home to LA and was living her life normally. Now, would you do that now if you were around confirmed cases? Would you go back tomorrow and just live your life normally? Probably not. You probably self-quarantine. But she, just like went to dinner with friends and, hung out, and then she tested positive. And so she said she had to call everybody she had been in contact with and have some really uncomfortable conversations. She said everybody was cool and understanding. But really, Kaylee did nothing different than what the nurse from your story did. Like, she was, around the possibility. We were all around it, whether we knew it or not. But, Kaylee really didn't do anything differently than what your nurse did. And I really think they both act differently today. But 3 weeks.
I think that's exactly right. If you woke up with a fever today, you'd act differently.
Yeah.
But I do think it was, this is, and now some people are like, by the time this happened, I was already, you might have been taking care. But I know that same week I went to a Grizzlies game. that was the week I went to a Grizzlies game. So, and no one knew this thing was coming. And so we have been slow as a society to be on the uptick. And I think everybody would act differently now. I think there's no question.
Yeah, if we're being honest, it was, 3 weeks ago, today, I was at a basketball game, interviewing basketball players, within inches of each other. I was, earlier that day, I went to lunch at a little place right next to my hotel, sat at a table next to other people. Then I got up on Wednesday morning, so it had been 3 weeks ago from tomorrow. I flew home, sat right next to a guy, and I had a cough. I mean, I had a cough because I talked about it when I got on radio that day. Like, I had a cough, and I was just like, this is kind of the same cough I always have every winter. I don't have any other symptoms, so I'm probably fine. And that was my mindset then. Would that be my mindset today? Under no circumstances. I wouldn't get on that plane today. Like, I do think we have – not everybody has learned as much as they need to learn, but – I do think a lot of people have learned a lot over the past 3 weeks about how serious this is.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. This was, in fact, it wasn't the week that the Grizzlies played. It was the next week. But anyway, my point is this. I'm not interested in going back and pointing fingers. Right. What's done is done. I was interested, and she was interested in telling the tale as a cautionary tale. To the matter, she's going back to work tomorrow. She's got the all clear from the health department. She's fine. And now her roommate had to be tested. She has two roommates. Her roommate had to be tested. Like, that's an awkward conversation, right, where you say, I brought this home, and you've got symptoms now, and I got to be tested. But we're not as a society going to be pillory. Are people ripping Chris Cuomo because he has it today? Like, you're not a bad human being if you come down with the coronavirus. You're unlucky, and who knows? Maybe you weren't as careful as you should have been, or maybe just bad luck. You had bad luck in some respect. I'm not out to demonize people who have the coronavirus. I think I am out to demonize people who flout the rules conspicuously. You know, those people I am. Like, that to me are the people I'll demonize. The people who absolutely know that they're not supposed to be gathering in massive groups, but do anyway. Who have or throw parties. Or I saw Scott Morris sent out something saying today that he knows of churches in the area that met this weekend. Well, come on, man. Seriously, like them. I'll demonize them.
Right. I don't have any anger or frustration directed at the nurse from your story, because I don't think most of us were taking this as seriously as we should have 3 weeks ago. But, like, if you decided to go play basketball with 25 other people tomorrow under these circumstances, knowing what we now know, and then you come down with coronavirus, well, then you get what you get. Like, I don't mean it in a
I still hope you do fine.
Right,
you recover.
Right. But
I'm
like,
not wishing death on you.
Right, I don't want anybody to, me neither, but I'm like, yo, right. You knew. Like, right now, you know what's okay and what's not okay. As recently as 3 weeks ago, if we're just being honest with each other, we didn't really, enough of us didn't know, myself included, exactly what we were dealing with. Why we didn't know, that's another conversation completely, but we didn't know. Now we know. It is crystal clear to everybody with a brain. And if you are still disregarding the stuff, again, I don't wish death on you, but you get what you get. You know, at this point, like, some of us are going to get it being as careful as we can be. Feel sick for those people. But, like, if you're just like, you know, if you are flying in the face of what every medical official in this country is on television every day telling you now, then you're just being reckless and irresponsible, and it's hard for me to muster sympathy for those people.
Right. I don't want you to get it. I'll have sympathy for any people, but I don't have, yes, but yes. And the truth of the matter is those people have families who might then get it, and whatever else, but who weren't idiots. So anyway, yeah, I do think as a society we're doing, as an area we're doing better. The other good news is that the flattening of the curve, at least nationally, seems to be working. For 2 days in a row, the rate of growth has been, you know, I think average 15% over the last 2 days, and that's good. That means that what we're doing here is, why are we doing it? There's a reason, and it's because the rate of growth is coming down, and so it's that's good to see.
Yeah, but the scary part is, like, even as the rate of growth is going down, these deaths that we're going to see piling up, like, they're just, there's nothing you can do about them now. They're going to happen.
So many people have it now that the numbers, like, fully a quarter of the people or something who got it in the last day, because the numbers are so big, right? And so that's what exponential growth is. All we're doing is bringing down the rate of growth, and the numbers are bigger every day because it's a smaller percentage of it, but of a much bigger number every day. And so the growth is going to continue, and the deaths are very clearly going to continue, particularly because as this thing goes, we find out that generally you have it for a few days, and then at some point a week in is when it often takes a turn for the worse, and that's when you end up in the hospital. That's why one of her quotes, which I thought was just sort of chilling, and the nurse in the column I wrote today was when she basically said, you know, be careful, because when you get it, the hospitals aren't going to have enough room for you. Like, she was one of the ones who got it. She was, when she got it, there were only 10 people in the city who had it. 10 confirmed cases, right? When she was diagnosed, there were 10 confirmed cases. When if you're playing in the, if you're messing around today with 25 people and you end up getting it, when you get it and when you go into ICU, there may not be a bed for you.
Right. Right. That's the thing. Like, if you get this right now in Memphis and you need to be placed on a ventilator, there's a ventilator for you. In a month, there might not be a ventilator for you. You know, that's where we're headed. Anyway.
I do want to tell you this. This is from my friend Charles. Okay. Sales of alcoholic beverages rose 55% in the week ending March 21st. Let's see. Tequila, gin, and pre-mixed cocktails led the way, up 75% compared to the same period last year. Wine sales up 66%. Beer sales up 42%. There you go. How about that? We're drinking our way through this, GP.
Unsurprising. I will say my wife barely drinks, and I can count on one hand how many times she said the following sentence. Can you stop by the liquor store on the way home? But in the past week, she was like, I need bottles of wine. Could you please stop and get bottles of wine? So we'll get through it one way or another. I hope.
See you later, man.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. President Trump, speaking at the White House within the hour, has said that the models he's now being shown have 100,000 American deaths, quote, on the low side, which is just what? You know, again, not a surprise if you've been paying attention lately, but certainly a surprise relative to what we were being told a few weeks ago. Be back in a second.
The Gary Parish Show.
Anna McCleskey is a friend of mine who is a registered nurse.
And that I can understand that it's frustrating that you're being isolated and you're being kept at home and you're being told not to see your friends or go out to eat or, you know, go out on a Saturday night. If it's to the point that someone says, hey, you staying at home could save someone's life, seems like a no-brainer to me. And that really is to the extent as to where we're at right now.
92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Let spring fever take over today. The spring fever event is going on now at Olive Branch Motorsports. Finance from 0% for 60 months or get up to a $4,000 rebate on select 2019 Can-Am Spyder models. Adventure is just around the corner. Visit Olive Branch Motorsports now at 5656 Goodman Road, Olive Branch, Mississippi, or online at obmotorcycleatv.com. Offer ends April 30th, 2020. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
It's time for the 2020 census, and my nephew asked me, what is the census? And when I thought about it, I realized that it's more than just a count. It's possibilities. My grandfather came here 50 years ago for a better life. He learned the census counted everyone in the community to inform hundreds of billions of dollars in funding each year for things like schools, clinics, public transit, and stuff that mattered to him and his community. So he made sure my grandmother was counted. And then my father, my mother, my aunts and uncles, baby sisters, baby brothers, and even my cousin, who wasn't actually my cousin but lived with us, so we called her our cousin. So yeah, my entire family. Thanks to him, we all got counted, which gave us all the possibilities we have today.
Complete the census online, by phone, or by mail. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
Hey, this is Gary Parish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist, where my entire family goes to the dentist. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, please look no further than the Smile Center. And did you catch the new address? It's 1941 South Germantown Road. That's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's new address because he joined forces with Dr. Pat Clark's office. But don't worry, the Smile Center is going to continue to provide the same friendly, outstanding dental care you're accustomed to, and will now be able to provide additional services such as sedation dentistry. And check this out. The Smile Center is now also offering an annual membership plan for people who do not have dental insurance. For just $250 a year, you're going to receive a comprehensive exam, a full head x-ray, a cavity detection x-ray, a periodic exam, and two annual cleanings. It's a value of right around $530. You can get it for just $250. So if you don't have traditional insurance, you should give the Smile Center a call at 901-309-1333 or on the web Visit them. SmileCenterMemphis.com.
If you're the kind of person who agrees nothing beats the great outdoors, we have some fantastic news. Honda has found a way to make the outdoors even greater with special offers on some of our best four-wheel vehicles. It's happening now during the Greater Outdoor Sales Event at DeSoto Honda. Every Honda ATV and Pioneer side-by-side has the power to take on the biggest jobs and trails. And for unbridled thrills over any terrain, there's our Talon 1000s. Find the four-wheel vehicle that works hardest for you and start the year with a great deal. Like up to $1,400 factory-to-dealer incentives on select models. Make this your greatest year outdoors yet. But hurry, because offers this good can't last long. Get to DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch now during the Greater Outdoor Sales Event. Factory-to-dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See DeSoto Honda for complete program details. And find them online at DeSotoHonda.net.
Get to us a Sunday.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I hustle for my chain like a pit stop. I used to want to grip grain to my wrist lock. Ooh, now I want a BMW i3. It's little but it's on point like Kyrie. My mama taught me never let a sucker chop me. But if he do, draw blood like an IV. I'm a lover, not a fighter dog. But I done earned most stripes than the Titan claw. Low key, fat can't fight at all. But she got a CHL if you tryna brawl. All peace, no war. I need bank like a black boy. I'm trying to get my mama out there at four. I just feel
interesting slash disturbing story. BusinessInsider.com earlier today. I don't know if you saw this. Obviously, a lot of people are meeting via Zoom right now, right? Classes,
yeah.
Companies, executives. Also, it's how we're holding, in certain parts of this country, Alcoholics Anonymous meetings.
Yeah.
Because people can't gather. So you've got people with substance abuse problems in the New York area meeting on Zoom. And there was a meeting this morning, like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on Zoom. And this has been happening to various classrooms and business meetings. People are figuring out how to get into them who aren't supposed to be into them. And so this morning there's an AA meeting on Zoom, video conferencing, and you know, people are doing what they do at these meetings. I mean, these are, by definition, people who are struggling trying to get better, or people who have struggled and are getting better, but making a real attempt. And suddenly they hear a man's voice, not supposed to be there, shouting misogynistic and anti-Semitic slurs, and then also making crass references to drinking, saying things like, alcohol is so good. Alcohol is the best. Don't you want alcohol right now? Like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Lead somebody to do that.
I
hope it's a stupid teenager just doesn't know any better. Like, you know, because, you know, teenager, you're not that smart when you're a teenager.
We've all done stupid stuff.
We've all done stupid stuff when we're teenagers. I hope that's who it was. I'd hate to think it's like a real live adult. Because that's, I mean, I don't have to tell you. That's nothing to joke about.
No.
I mean, these are real, you know, Jeff and I were talking in the last segment. His friend Charles had told him that alcohol sales throughout this country are skyrocketing.
Sure.
You know, which is understandable.
It makes
sense,
yeah.
If you go to the other side of that, okay, let's just break it down on a very basic level. Why are alcohol sales skyrocketing? Wine, vodka, whiskey, whatever. Because people are at home, and this is stressful.
Yeah.
And sometimes people drink when they're stressed.
No question.
You hear it all the time. People go, oh, man, I really need a drink. Oh, man, that was a hell of a day. I need a drink. Right? You hear that all the time. We say it casually to each other. Okay. Well,
we're both guilty of it.
Okay. So now you've got, and I mean this sincerely, we'll get back to joking around in a minute, but you've got people who have substance abuse problems who are trying to stay sober in these stressful times,
mm-hmm.
which is the times that if you're going to slip up, this is a great recipe for it. These uncertain, scary times. But they're still logging on to Zoom, trying to meet, trying to do what's best for themselves, trying to stay sober. And somebody wants to break in and make light of it and encourage you to go drink. It's just like, what? So again, that's just one story, and I hope it's just one stupid person who just doesn't know any better, and one day we'll understand how irresponsible, reckless, dangerous doing something like that is to people who are already vulnerable. But still, what a disturbing story. You'd think we'd all 100% be better than that, but I guess not. Be back with dinner to go.
If you woke up one morning and found that your roof was leaking, who would you call? An optometrist?
Okay, now, which way does the leak look clearer, here or here?
It's still leaking.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
5-Hour Energy is energy on the go. But what if you're not going anywhere for a while? Then 5-Hour Energy is energy for getting stuff done while you're stuck at home. Like doing an honest day's work for your boss. Getting rid of old clothes.
My old bell bottoms.
Scouring the grout in your shower. Working out on that old stationary bike. And so much more. Go to the store or order online at shop5hourenergy.com. 5-Hour Energy. Energy for hunkering down.
Hi, folks. Bob Berkheimer for Sunrise Buick GMC Truck. A lot has happened overnight and just wanted to let you know we're open at Sunrise for all your automotive needs. Service, body shop, parts, and sales. Go online to sunrisememphis.com to schedule an appointment. Should you need a vehicle, we're offering 0% up to 84 months with deferred payments up to 120 days. You can shop online. We'll bring the car or truck to you. At Sunrise, we know you want to feel safe, so bring your car or truck to any Sunrise location and we'll disinfect it at no charge. Sunrise, stress-free and safe. Covington Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. It's been a mild winter, so the bugs are going to be bad. And you know we're here to take care of you and your home. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. And we can handle all the termites, ants, mosquitoes, and everything in between. It's going to be bad. You need to be prepared. Don't let the bugs ruin your summer. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com and take charge of your home.
At Sprint, our priority is keeping our customers, employees, and communities safe. During these uncertain times, we want you to get the great service you expect without leaving the safety of your home. Sprint.com makes shopping easier by offering free next-day shipping and no activation fees on our best new phone deals, like the amazing iPhone 11. Lease it for just $15 a month when you switch to Sprint. For now, shopping online at Sprint.com is the best way to learn about our plans, buy new phones, and get the services you need. Stay healthy and go to Sprint.com today. iPhone 11, 64GB, $15 per month after 14-17 monthly credit applied within 2 bills. Requires new line of service, 18-month lease, and approved credit. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Offer and coverage not available everywhere. $30 activation fee, taxes, and restrictions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Like always, we've got the 6 coming up here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Just as soon as I get off the air, if you missed my conversation with my friend Anna McCleskey, who is a registered nurse working at a local hospital on a coronavirus unit, so she's walking those halls every day, it will be included in that, so you'll be able to check it out. That's coming up here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but obviously the coronavirus pandemic dominated the conversation. President Trump and the coronavirus response team in Washington holding a press conference this afternoon, and explaining that the goal is to try to keep it under 100,000 deaths, but they're expecting anywhere from 100,000 to 240,000 American deaths from this coronavirus pandemic. The quote from President Trump, is that we're going to have a very painful 2 weeks. So if there's a good part of this, silver lining, if you will, at least now everybody's speaking the same language. I mean, we're now 3 weeks into, I mean, we're months into this, but it was about 3 weeks ago where we as a country started going, okay, what's going on? What do we need to do? That's about 3 weeks. And for most of these 3 weeks, the messages have been completely mixed. You've got doctors saying one thing. And again, I'm not trying to pile on, but the president's saying something completely different. At least now the president is saying what the doctors are actually saying, that this is not just going to disappear, that this is not just going to go to zero cases sometime soon, that it's going to be a very painful 2 weeks. There's nobody out there with any sort of data available to them that's suggesting otherwise anymore.
What's the biggest game tonight?
We got no games.
What should I watch on TV?
On HBO tonight, The Scheme is a documentary debuting at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
You familiar?
No.
Okay. It is a documentary about Christian Dawkins, the young, aspiring sports agent.
Okay, you talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Who got caught up in the FBI sting that led to the federal trials connected to college basketball. And for the first time, the country is going to be able to hear Arizona coach Sean Miller on a wiretap, LSU coach Will Wade on a wiretap, that quote-unquote strong-ass offer that he made for Javonte Smart. That's all in the documentary. So it's 8 o'clock tonight on HBO. I'm going to be watching it and then recording a CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast with Matt Norlander afterwards. So if you want to watch it with us, 8 o'clock on HBO.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah. Go read Jeff's story, a column, dailymemphian.com, on the nurse who didn't know that she had contracted the coronavirus and went about her life normally for a few days before she ultimately realized symptoms and tested positive. And it's just a reminder that, you know, she was presumably spreading this to other people without even knowing she had it. And that means any of us could be doing that same thing right now, and any of us could become a coronavirus patient because of that exact same thing right now. It is why we're being told to stay home, stay away from other people. We know more today than we knew 3 weeks ago, but not everybody is still taking it as seriously as they should. Go read that column, and then hopefully, if you're still a skeptic, you'll be less of one.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, Jonathan Givony from ESPN, NBA draft analyst, going to join me in the first hour. So we will talk some sports tomorrow. Get the latest on what NBA general managers think of James Wiseman, of Anthony Edwards, of LaMelo Ball, of anybody else considered at the top of the lottery. Are we going to have pre-draft workouts? Are we going to have a combine? Is there a chance they're going to push the NBA draft back from its normal date in June? Jonathan Givony will join me in the first hour. I'll talk to him about all of those things. Jeff Calkins in the second. Looking forward to it. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. Stay home. Stay safe. And we'll meet back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good. Rep your hood.
Station you can count on. Live on the radio.com free app.
The time to prepare your workplace and protect your employees is now. Make your first contact, High-Low Commercial Services. They offer complete deep cleaning with chemicals that kill the flu and coronaviruses. Put safety first with High-Low Commercial Services. Call Andy at 901-361-3054.
Frontier Western Store is proud to announce their t-shirt sale is back. All regularly priced novelty t-shirts are buy one, get a second one half price. Tons of new prints by Simply Southern, Girly Girl, and Puppy Love, as well as men's tees by Live Oak and Hey Bo are included. Frontier's women's boutique is loaded with new styles and colors and current trends of tops, tunics, and dresses. And most are just $14.99. Available small to 3X. While you're there, be sure to check out Frontier's world-famous boot showroom. Shop thousands of boots year-round that are in
in stock, ready to try on and take home. Shop at a local store with excellent local service. With their extensive selection of dress and work boots, you are certain to find your next favorite pair. Frontier receives new styles and restocks daily from all the largest bootmakers: Dan Post, Durango, Rocky, Ariat, and many more. Available in men's, women's, or children's, outfit the entire family. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
All right, listen up, Bedbugs.
Yeah.
Go up the middle, along the mattresses. Roaches.
Yeah.
To a zone everywhere there's a crack. Brown recluses.
Yeah.
You're on surprise defense. Anywhere you can hide. Now let's take that house.
Right.
Pests have a game plan. So should you. Get Allied Termite and Pest on your team. They'll talk with you, understand your full situation, and create a custom, safe, and efficient treatment strategy for your home.
We're up against Allied Termite and Pest? I'm throwing in the towel.
Beat the bugs. Visit AlliedPestControl.com today.
Ever wonder how spending your dollars locally impacts our community? According to a recent study, for every $100 spent, $68 stays in the community, providing jobs and nurturing our community. Memphians supporting Memphis. Brought to you by 92.9 ESPN.
What's your case worth? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.